mentioned Gopher and World Wide Web, and in a way those are two extremes of how to do an implementation. Gopher is very simple, almost spare. The protocol is simple. The user interface is fairly simple. World Wide Web makes extensive use of SGML, of hypertext links, and might even be hard to put information into. Certainly once you put the information in, it yields a lot of results. Are both those approaches going to be on the network, or do you think one of those is going to win out?
No. I keep talking about Darwinian selection of services, Darwinian selection of protocols. What you're going to find is we're going to find the ecological niches where each belongs. You need complex solutions when you have complex problems. What you need is to not try to throw a complex solution at a simple problem. Gopher, hopefully, the guys, and from what I've seen so far, they're doing an excellent job of remembering their roots, where they came from. Simple is good. They can't do everything, but they're not trying to do everything. On the other hand, the World Wide Web project, it does have value added. Now, I think what we have to do is identify when is it appropriate to use something like World Wide Web, which is a hypertext system, very nice distributed one, but it is a hypertext system, and it has all the associated navigation problems that there is with hypertext. So I think putting World Wide Web into a closed domain of information where you can browse around it is an excellent idea. Putting the whole world onto hypertext, I think, is a bad idea. So yes, you'll have it. You'll have both of them, and you'll probably have some new ones that hopefully will come out in the next little while. I want to see people experimenting with new ideas. We certainly haven't discovered everything there is to discover about how to do this. But no one is going to win out. You can have multiple protocols, multiple ways of thinking about information, and therefore multiple ways of serving it.
You've been looking at a variety of ways of identifying information. We have these huge data archives, and you can find a file name, but it turns out that the process is more difficult because we have more than files we're trying to find, and they're located all over the place. Can you tell us how we're going to identify resources on a network?
Sure. Actually, what we did is my partner, Alan Emtash, and I got Archie up and running, and we began to realize that Archie can be used for other things, not just the file names. In effect, what you're doing with Archie is you're searching on a particular attribute, which happens to be the file name. Now, the obvious extension is let's give us some more attributes that we can catalog, and therefore you can do some more general searching. So what we did is we co-chaired an IETF working group that's just come to completion that's defined a set of templates that, if you want to use one of these Internet, I'll give you the buzzword here is an IAFA template, Internet Anonymous FTP Archive. What was the name of the working group? So we talk about these IAFA templates. There is a user template that lists various attributes about a user, his name, his email address, his paper mail address, his phone number, and so on. Now, this will be an RFC, or an informational RFC. It's just going into draft form right now. And the idea is we're going to strongly encourage anonymous FTP archive administrators to put out collections of information that use these templates, because tools will then be able to know the format of the information, pick them up, index them, and serve them back out again. We're not the only people looking to do this, but certainly we're committed, as this information starts to become available, building additional databases. How about one that lists every service at your site? Well, we pick that up from all the sites. We all of a sudden have solved the Yellow Pages problem. We can build services.
So these IAFA templates are catalogs in a card catalog? Is that what they are?
In effect, what we've defined is a standard set of card catalog types that says, okay, if you want to catalog a person, here's one way to do it. Now, you're not required to use this way, but if you do and everyone does, then all of a sudden the tools can be a little more clever about what they do. So, yeah, they're basically sets of they're I can't remember the exact number. There was about a half a dozen types we did. One that specializes in users, one that specializes in services, one that describes software, one that's an abstract for papers. And you basically catalog whatever you want to be cataloged. Let the people who are going to run these indexing services know about it. They'll start picking them up. If you make a change, the changes will appear automatically. It's the Archie idea carried to the next step. Other kinds of information. We all need information on the net. Nobody wants raw connectivity. They want the information. And this is our cut at trying to get it out there in a way that everybody does a little slice of it, only the information of interest to you. You keep yours up to date, and then the tools can be used to help everybody find it.
Now, I see a big difference between Archie and the IAFA. Archie depends on computers to get its information, and IAFA depends on people. What makes you think people are going to keep information up to date?
People often come to me, even when I was still working at McGill University as an administrator, and the big debate has been in this environment of, we can't possibly let the users have access to their own data. We have to control the data. And I've always thought that was really a silly distinction. The people who run the machines should run the machines, but let's face it, if I want my phone number on the net, I want it to be the right phone number, and I'm the appropriate person to keep track of that information and keep it up to date. It's expensive for a computing center to pay someone to keep everybody's phone number up to date. It's cheap for each person to keep his own number up to date.
Well, but can people be expected to, you know, phone number is simple. You either know it or you don't.
Yeah.
But when it comes to cataloging the technical papers that are available and you're expected to come up with indices.
I don't necessarily believe that every person will be his own librarian and do his own abstracts. But it's certainly appropriate, for example, that your department has someone that does this for the whole department. Now, that's not outlandish. You can have someone do that part-time. Having, you know, trying to do this on the scale of an entire network or an entire university, it gets harder. And each time you try to be more ambitious, it gets harder. And there's these reverse economies of scale, if you will, where it's easy to do a few, it's hard to do a lot and get other work done. So our own particular cut on this is that if we can just, you know, the salami model, take a little slice. If everyone takes a slice, well, very quickly the work is done. And after all, you have an interest that your information stays up to date. And if you have the tools to keep it up to date, someone complains, you'll fix it. I think it's a much better model than trying to go for global administration. There are times you need it, but there are times when it's inappropriate. It's just not going to work because it's too expensive on a network of over 1 million machines.
You're trying to define some standards. You're trying to define standards for templates. You're doing work in areas like universal record identifiers. What's the proper place to get those standards done so that they actually take effect?
You know, this is going to turn into an ad for the IETF. I'm a real enthusiast for the IETF. Every year there's some kerfuffle that comes up and there's a little crisis, and I look at this and I say, you know, if we have one major fight in the IETF a year, we're doing pretty good because you look how much work is getting done. I think it's an excellent model for any other group that wants to set standards. You build your rough consensus and your working code, and so much work gets done through this avenue. So we've concentrated our, we're a fairly small company now. We have to be very careful about where we, you know, spend our ammunition. And we're very committed to working through the IETF because I found that it's a process that produces results quickly. There's a motivation to get on with it. The only people there are the ones who actually want to work on the problem. It's democracy in action. I think it works pretty well. So to me, the avenue to try to standardize these services is not to dictate a protocol. It's not to get governments to fund studies. It's to get volunteers who want the problem solved at the IETF and set up a working group and get some work done.
And you think these informal de facto standards have a chance of being adopted for these very large data archives out there?
I think we have an existence proof of 1.5 million machines that talk to each other. The Internet just works. I mean, it doesn't always work well, and pieces of it can hurt a little bit, but I think what's been accomplished on the Internet working through this mechanism is pretty impressive, and I have some faith that it's got a little bit of life left in it yet.
Archie worked, many would say, because it was a free service. It was available on the network. The software was available. You were running Archie as a non-commercial. Anyone could telnet in and grab their information. And now you formed Archie Inc., if you will, Bunyip Information Systems. Are you now moving away from that freeware model?
No. Well, one thing I want to make clear is Archie was never free. It cost originally McGill University a huge amount of resources. We did all of our work volunteers as students. Alan got a master's project and I got a thesis out of it. But to me, we must make users aware that there is a difference between freely available and free. Archie has always been freely available. I hope that particular collection of information will always continue to be freely available. But when it became clear that we could not work on it at McGill University and stay at McGill University once we finished our studies, then we have to find another way to pay ourselves. So what we currently do is we charge for access to the Archie server code. And that allows us to continue to improve it, to bring up new databases, to go to the IETF. This is fairly simple economics 101 stuff, but I do have to eat. I am not independently wealthy. I'm not even dependently wealthy. So I have to have some income. Now, there is a lot of debate about funding models on the net. I certainly am averse to charging somebody 10 cents a query for some very simple reasons, not the least of which is it's a very inefficient way of doing it. I know somebody that just got a bill for $2 from AT&T for some phone service, and I thought, oh, that's really silly. Probably cost them four times that to send the bill, if not more. So I certainly hope that we can find funding models where, for example, if your network is using a service, your network pays the service provider, the information provider, some flat fee. We are all actively looking at this. There are a lot of people that want to put a lot of information on the net, but we do have to figure out some way to reward this effort because you never know what you don't get. But I can say that, quite frankly, if I'd had some support, if I'd had some money 2-3 years ago, Archie would be a much more useful collection of information than it is now. Now we finally got some money flowing, it will get more useful. So I think that and there's controversy going on over Gopher right now. The Gopher people have announced that they're going to have to start charging license fees as well. And obviously, I've bought into the model where we have to do this, but I can only defend them and say, The Gopher people have shown us some wonderful things, and they've shown what we can do. But they, too, have pressures. Their institution has to be able to see some return on all the efforts put into it. They're not out to make a fortune. We're not out to make a fortune. But we do need to get some money going back to the sources of information, or you're just not going to have them on the net. It's as simple as that.
This is Geek of the Week, featuring interviews with prominent members of the technical community. Geek of the Week is brought to you by O'Reilly & Associates, and by Sun Microsystems.